Take your Bible, if you will, and I want you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I don't think the sermon will be lengthy this evening, but you know how preachers lie. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, find verse number 1. And once you find 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, would you please stand with me? I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses to you. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse number 1. And it says this, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." The sermon tonight is called this, Heaven on Earth for Me. Heaven on Earth for Me. And let me pray. Father, bless the sermon tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And God, when you and I spent time preparing this sermon, I enjoyed it. I was challenged by it. And I was blessed by it. Somehow, Father, help our folks tonight to have that same enjoyment, the same blessing, and the same challenge. I pray, Spirit of God, that you will do an eternal work, make our church stronger, make us better Christians because we came to church tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. The passage of Scripture that I read to you tonight, in verse number 2, it says this, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." He says, "Whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven." This is the Apostle Paul. It's a verse about him dying, and he said he was called or caught up to the third heaven. You say, "Preacher, are there 3 different levels of heaven?" Yes, the Republicans go to one, the Democrats, No, there's not 3 different levels of heaven like that. Now, there are different degrees of reward in the heaven to which you will go. The first heaven would be what we would call our clouds, our sky, our immediate earth. The second heaven would be what we would call the outer space, where the moon and the stars are. The third heaven, that is the place where God lives. So the first heaven is our immediate space around the globe. Second is what they send spaceships to. The third is beyond that, where God is and where the heaven is. That would be the 3 heavens. Paul had died and had a chance to get a glimpse of the third heaven. That's where God is. I said this a week or 2 ago. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in resurrections. I think there are times when God's allowed somebody to come back from the dead. But I will tell you this. Anybody that's come back from the dead that's seen either heaven or hell would have been totally transformed and would have become the most scriptural Christian you ever met in your life. Because they would have seen how terrible hell was and they would have turned into a soul-winning machine. Or they would have seen how wonderful heaven was and they would have wanted to convince everybody of salvation. It wouldn't have been all about a book deal or going on national television. They would have become a doctrinal giants if they had actually passed away and went to one of those places and got a glimpse of them. But Paul did, according to the Bible. Let me tell you, Paul, when he got to look at what was in heaven, of course, there's some wonderful things about heaven. Jesus is there. In heaven, there is no pain there. The Word of God, which is Jesus, is exalted there. You know, in heaven, they don't have any tiffs or disagreements or hurt feelings. There is a unity that is perfect there. In heaven, it's clean. In heaven, it is peaceful. In heaven, there is perfect love and no sin. What a wonderful place. Do you know that what you and I are doing since salvation, we are in training for our future home. We sing that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know, you and I, this isn't our final destination. And you say, well, what are we doing down here? Well, first of all, we're going to try to get everybody on board so everybody can go to heaven with us. But secondly, as long as we're alive, we are in training for our future in heaven. Do you know that our church, we ought to want it to be as much like heaven as it can be now? We ought to do what we can to make our church and our lives a heaven on earth. You see, you know, I happen to believe this. If you don't enjoy the right kind of songs down here, you're going to have a hard time enjoying the songs up there, because we're in music training, music preparation. You say, I don't like this business, preacher. Sometimes you get to talking about separation and leaving certain things behind in the world. Well, I've got news for you. Your day's coming where you're leaving it all behind. And you will submit to the separation issues of heaven. So that's coming someday. So what's happening down here? If you can't separate in some of these little areas, boy, are you going to have a hard adjustment when heaven comes along? You say, well, you're just so straight-laced. You ought to see how straight-laced God is. I mean, he really, if he does it, he does it right, and he does it all the way, and we're all going to get to heaven, and we're going to say, wow, I didn't realize. I really thought I was really something, but I've come to find out I wasn't so hot. When you get to heaven, you'll find that out. We are to prepare, we're preparing ourselves for heaven. You know what we ought to try then to achieve? You and I ought to be trying to achieve in our ministry that we get everything as close as possible to what it would be like in heaven. I got to thinking this, and I thought to myself, well, what would make our church like heaven on earth for me? Now, I guess I'll just be a little stingy for a little while. And I'm going to say to you what could happen if this could happen in our church, I would think I'd died and gone to heaven. Now, please forgive me. I realize that you are God's people. But it's my honor and it's my privilege to get to call you my people. I know our ultimate shepherd is Jesus Christ, but I hold the position of an under-shepherd, and I get to be your pastor, and I mean that. I get to be. That's an honor for me. So, I'm going to use the term, my people. Forgive me, I'm not trying to steal you away from God, a couple of you. I'd just like to give you totally back to Him. But I tried, and He said, no, you keep them. They're your problem. I want to talk to you. What would make this place like heaven on earth to me? First of all, I would think I was in heaven on earth if all our people would be filled with the Spirit of God. See, when you got saved, Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit moved into you, and He was sealed there. He then wants to control our behavior. It's called being filled with the Spirit of God. You see, basically, and this is very much a simplification, when you got saved, you got all of the Spirit of God sealed within you. The problem is you just don't give all of you to Him. So you got all of Him, He just doesn't have all of you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know something? A church like ours would never have a problem again if everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Spirit fullness is a problem solver. Anytime there's a problem between two Christians, someone is walking in the flesh. You want the solution to your marriage? Let me give you some good advice. Both of you, get yourself filled with the Spirit of God. It'll control everything about you. Being filled with the Spirit gives you a tremendous edge when it comes to people work. It just changes things. So, you say, preacher, what would make our church like heaven on earth? If every one of us would walk in the Spirit. If everybody, I'm talking about children, I'm talking about teenagers, I'm talking about new Christians, I'm talking about the older Christians. You should be filled with the Spirit. And to whatever degree you're not, you will be a contributor to this place not being like heaven. Because, you know, when we get to heaven, the Spirit of God will have total control. He'll have total control. Secondly, I think I would be in heaven on earth if all of us spent time like we should in our Bibles. If everybody here would spend time in your Bible like you're supposed to, it would make this place like heaven on earth. Psalm 119 verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Notice it didn't say just on Sunday. Notice it didn't say just on Wednesday. It's all the day. You say, well, which day? Today. And tomorrow, tomorrow's day. And Tuesday's day. Did you know? If you would spend time in the Word of God like you're supposed to, it is one of the best preparations for the heaven that we'll go to, and is one of the best ways to make where you live a heaven on earth. Look, if everybody in every family here, if you'd spend time in the Word of God like you're supposed to, and if you would submit to the Spirit of God like you're supposed to, we'd stop having fusses in our marriages. We wouldn't have children fussing with parents and parents having to fuss with children. You wouldn't have tension around the church. Why? Why? You have been baptized in the Word of God and you've got the Spirit of God flowing through you. That would change everything. Hey, it would make you a better follower down at the church. And I'm not having any problem with someone that doesn't want to follow. Those that are here in our church, they're very submissive to God. But I'm just telling you, I'll tell you, it would make it heaven on earth if everybody in this church would spend time in their Bibles like they ought to. Thirdly, I think it would be like heaven on earth if everybody in our church would love one another like we're commanded to. Let's love one another like we're commanded to. You say, why? Well, when we get to heaven, that's how we're going to behave toward each other. That's how we're going to behave. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God." Hey, we're to love one another with the love of Christ. Now you have to understand, that's a little different than you loving people with your love. You say, well, how in the world am I going to love them with the love of Christ? First of all, if you'll walk in the Spirit. Secondly, if you'll douse your life in the Word of God, you will learn how God loves. We're supposed to let God love through us. We're a conduit. And I am to let God love through me. Now, churches, there's nothing wrong. If I try to love you with my love or you try to love me with your love, that's good. That's okay. But can I tell you something? That's very anemic. That's very weak. And that won't hold up. We need to love each other like Christ loved us. Notice, I said it would be like heaven on earth if we all loved one another. I didn't say like. I said loved. There's no doubt in my mind. There's somebody under the sound of my voice, somebody either in your family or in our church family, you would say, I like them, or you may say, I like them, I don't necessarily love them. I like them. Notice, I didn't say, I wish we would tolerate one another. We shouldn't have to tolerate one another. We ought to love one another. Boy, what a church. Picture it. A church where everybody's filled with the Spirit of God. Picture a church where everybody's spending time in their Bibles like they're supposed to. Picture a church where everybody loved one another. Those of you that have your little grudges, you don't think they're bad. You just think you're better than somebody else. That is not something that produces, that's not produced out of a heart of love. It is not produced out of a heart of love. But let me go on. I've got more things on my wish list here. I'd be in heaven on earth if all of us, all our people, never forgot that they were sinners and they were patient with the other sinners in our church. Heaven on earth, if we'd all remember, we're sinners. And then we would practice a patience and a kindness toward the other people in our church who are what we are. They're sinners too. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That's Paul talking. Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." You know, it'd be wonderful if everybody would take on Paul's attitude. You say, "Well, I know who the chief of sinners is here in the church, preacher. I could point to him." I think every one of us ought to take a little time and figure out that we have a problem. The sin, and I've learned this. I've learned this in marriage. You know, there are things that Mrs. Owens might do, and I don't like them today. And I'm not doing those things today. But you know what? 3 weeks later, I find myself guilty of the very thing that I didn't like that she did 3 weeks ago. Can I tell y'all something? Did you know that anything that one Christian is capable of, so are you? And you might not be committing that sin today, but you used to. Remember back before you became perfect? And I might warn you about your pride. Because about the time you say, "Well, I would never," get ready, sucker, you're going down. Because pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God has a way of humbling you, and you'll fall flat on your face, and that thing which you said you would never do, you'll probably end up doing, because it's not because of your strength or because of your might, but because of His power that you'll do anything right. But I'm saying, it would be like heaven on earth if all the sinners in our church would realize there's a bunch of other sinners in our church, and we're to be patient, and we're to help one another, because we're just a bunch of sinners that are on a journey toward heaven, and we're just trying to make it. Spend most of your time examining and fixing yourself, not somebody else. So, I'd make it like heaven on earth for me if we would all just remember we're sinners. And so's everybody else in the church. What else? Well, number five, it would be like heaven on earth for me if I could get it, or if we could get it to the point where nobody in our church family would say a negative word about somebody else in our church family. Not a negative word. What are we talking about? Gossip? Slander? What are we talking about? Backbiting? Psalm 39, verse 1, it says, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." A bridle. You know what a bridle looks like? You got a bit. It's got a couple pieces of leather that go back across the bit. And God's saying, "Pull back on that big fat tongue of yours. Shut your mouth." That's what God's saying. He might not say it as rudely as I did. The Bible talks about our tongues being set on fire of hell in the book of James. I have to tell you something. I don't trust gossips. And so you know, if you're a gossip, people don't really trust you either. You say, "But preacher, what I said about somebody's true." Maybe God ought to just spill His guts about everything He knows true about you. You say He would never. Well, maybe you ought to act like God. That's He's our ultimate role model. But you know, I think this. I think in a church like ours, the doctrine is strong. The teaching and preaching from the Word is God is strong. And if we keep that in order, God will bless our church. But you know what will end up happening? If people don't get along, if people go around talking behind other people's backs and saying things that they should not say, that'll destroy a church. You don't even have to have bad doctrine. You don't have to have somebody teaching or preaching heresy to destroy a church. You just need some people that go around wagging their tongues and saying things that they should not say. So I'm talking about on Facebook. I'm talking about in your texting and in your emails and your tweeting and your belching and whatever, however you communicate. I can't get all that new modern technology down. But I'm talking about in your conversations. Look, if a group of you men get together and you all go out to eat, while you're out to eat, you shouldn't be sitting around criticizing the church And I'm not trying to protect myself, just so you know, God will protect me. I'm just sure of that. But I'll tell you, you go criticizing the leadership, you're letting everybody know what you don't like about this and what you don't like about that. Let me say, every one of you, politely and kindly as I know how, if there's something about this church or me that you don't like, my office is two doors down on the right. You come see me personally. We'll talk about it. But you won't fix me by talking behind my back. And you won't fix anybody else that way. And you'll just destroy yourself. That's what you'll do. And here's a good thing. I don't trust gossips, but I love them. Some of you can be at ease now. You say, well, I didn't think you loved me. No, I love you. I just don't trust you. When we get to heaven, there won't be anything untrue said, nor will there be anything damaging said. The one that did that got thrown out a long time ago. So, are y'all picturing the church that I'm picturing be heaven on earth? If everybody walked in the Spirit, if everybody spent time in their Bibles like they should, if everybody loved one another like they should, if we all remember that we're sinners saved by grace and so's everybody else and everybody struggles to do right and we ought to be patient with one another, if we could find a church where people just wouldn't talk negative about each other, what a church. That would be like heaven on earth. And so you know, this is where we're going. When we get to heaven, all these things are going to be so. And we're in training for heaven. Number six, it would be like heaven on earth if we did not have to deal with disloyalties among our ranks. Disloyalties. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." This is Lucifer. We give Lucifer, remember, he was an archangel in heaven at one point, and he rises up and he challenges God. Now, we would say, and indeed true, the sin that got him in trouble was pride. He said, "I will ascend above God. It's Isaiah chapter 14, you find out. And Lucifer gets cast out of heaven. But let me tell you something. I believe in equal portion, it wasn't only pride, it was disloyalty. He became disloyal to God. And if disloyalty can cause a split in heaven, don't you think disloyalty could cause a split down here? Absolutely. Absolutely. Our ultimate loyalty is to the Word of God. It ought to be that way. But let me tell you something. When you have people that are loyal to the Word of God, then we share a common denominator. Then there is a loyalty that is shared among us. I think all of us would say, if somebody doesn't want to be loyal to America, I tell you what I think. I think we ought to slap them on the head and put them on a boat and ship them somewhere. I mean, if you don't like America, go somewhere else. We're good with that. And so you know, I say this politely, but let me tell you something. If you don't like me, and I don't know of anybody that doesn't, but if you don't like me, if you don't like our church and what our church stands for, I wish you'd change. I wish you'd stick around, but you can go somewhere else. But don't stay around here and ruin the spirit and ruin the good thing that we've got going on. But why would you want to do that? And again, hey, to me, the best time to say things like this is when you don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't think there's a problem. Is knocking on wood in the Bible somewhere? No, but there's not. I don't know of a problem. I don't think there's a problem. I don't know of disloyalties. But let me tell you, if Satan can cause a disloyalty in heaven, don't you think it could happen down here? And any of you know what happens when there is disloyalty among God's members in a church? Oh, you take the Spirit of God out of things and it becomes nasty. And there's a thing called evil that pops up. And oh, is that ever nasty? I mean, sin's bad. Evil is mega, mega bad. Hey, evil is sin on steroids, double doses. It's bad. But you know, it'd be heaven on earth if we at all just be loyal. Loyal to the Bible. Loyal to the truth of the Bible. And you know what? And if we're all practicing that, then loyal to the people in our church family. Then, may I say, it would be like heaven on earth if we all would make our decisions with the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Not your wisdom, not my wisdom, the wisdom of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. I'm going to very simply give you a definition for wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. Where we get into trouble, we start seeing life through our own eyes. We need to see life through the eyes of God. Hey, then a wise person, they see the chain reaction, the domino effect of their behavior. You know, before you go do something stupid that topples over a domino of something stupid that hits a domino of something stupid, before you go start a stupid chain reaction, stop and think about how it's going to affect you and your family and your church and the cause of Christ. A wise person, to me, a wise person has what I call spiritual peripheral vision. They don't only see the moment. They see a little to their right, a little to their left. You all know, those of you that have been driving a vehicle for long, sure is good to be able to see a little bit out of the corner of the eye while you're driving. Do you know spiritually you need some of that peripheral vision? Let me warn you, a lot of people in the Christian life are very now-oriented. All they see is what is right in front of their face. Did you know that there's a tomorrow? Did you know that today is attached to tomorrow? And wise people learn how to see what's going on around them. They make their decisions not just based on how it's going to affect my today, but how it could affect my tomorrow. We've got to be careful not just to be now oriented. That you ought to, when you make a decision, ask yourself this: how's this going to affect eternity? Eternity. This looks good today. Now, there have been a lot of things that looked good to me on Saturday, but they were not good looking by Monday. So, if we had a group of people that made their decisions using the wisdom of God, boy, would that be a wonderful church. But wouldn't it be something if we didn't do what we think is right, but we do what God thinks is right? And we would not do what is just okay for today, but what would be eternally okay with God. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You and I, we are to think God's way. We're to gather understanding and insight and foresight, and we're to understand how things are connected. Hey, folks, we have got to behave ourselves in such a way that when we meet that decision in eternity, we are not disappointed and we have not shortchanged God. If we'd make decisions like that, I promise you, it keeps the atmosphere in a church pleasant. It keeps the atmosphere in a church positive. Let me give you one more thought and I'm done, I think. Maybe I'll give you two. It depends on how intelligent you look while I give this one as to whether or not we'll have another one. It's not looking good for you. Number 8, it would be like heaven on earth if all of us realized the importance of God's church. Now, you got to remember, I'm a pastor, and you might say, well, you're a pastor, sure, I'm not shocked you'd throw that in there. It's not my church, it's God's church. I just want you to realize the importance of God's church, which then, by the way, makes it a primary. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Pretty big deal when God's Son will give himself for the church. Now, you and I, we make up the church, but there is the local New Testament church. That's actually something that God created. Now, did you know that the church is more important than the government? Don't tell them. They don't know. The church is more important than government. Church is more important than a school. Church is important. Now I tell you something. It uses in Ephesians 5:27, it uses the words, it's a glorious church. Folks, I've always believed this, and I don't just believe this because I'm the pastor. Mrs. Owens, my children could tell you. When we got married and when we were all growing up, my wife and I as a young married couple and all of our children, we built our lives around the church. That's just how we built our lives. God, Jesus, the church became the center of the bullseye of our life. and everything else got built around it. We didn't build everything around something else and pop the church in when we had time. That's not how we did it. Well, we realize the importance of the New Testament church. If everybody would realize, you say, well, how important could it be? I don't know. You ask God why his son died for the church. Maybe you'll figure it out. And whether we understand it or not, still in the Bible. So, listen, I feel like I died going to heaven. If I had a church full of people that said, boy, is the church important. Then finally, and I told you, if you looked intelligent for the last point, I wouldn't teach another, but you looked so dumb during that last point. I looked down at Edwards too many times. And so, number nine, and I promise, cross my heart, hope to die, hope Brother Young dies. I'm going to give you this last point. It would feel like I had died and gone to heaven. It would be like heaven on earth if everybody in this room would realize the importance of the souls of men. The importance of the souls of men. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, it says, For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And there God is saying, if you got it all, but someone died and went to hell. Which then tends to make us believe this. Let's say, now our church, we get to see lots and lots of people saved week after week after week. And I'm talking about on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday during the church service. We get to see that happen all the time. But you know something? Every penny that we spend, everything that we do, had only one person gotten saved, it would have been worth every bit of it. Now, thank God we get to see them saved by the hundreds. I have on my desk right now, I pulled out all the decision slips for the last 26 months, 28 months, or however many months it's been that I've been the pastor here. The stack is just about that tall. Just decision slip after decision slip after decision slip. Let me tell you something. God is interested in the souls of men. And I just wish we would see that. Wish we would see that when we ignore the opportunity to pass out gospel tracts and we ignore the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. We ignore the soul winning program of the church. Folks, what would happen if a church in its entirety would all get concerned about the souls of men? There are people in this room, you wouldn't want to be a part of a church that wasn't a soul winning church. But what if everybody in the church was like you? Would you want to be a part of a church if everybody was like you? You'd say, well, no way. Well, then maybe you ought to step up. Maybe you ought to get concerned about the souls of men. We've got a lot of important ministries around here, and thank God for them all. I love the music ministry. I love our nurseries. I love the children's clubs and the choir. I love every bit of it. Thank God for every ministry here, but there is nothing more important than keeping people out of hell. Give me a church filled with people that understand the importance of the souls of men. Paul, the Bible says, he said this, Paul speaking of himself, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. Paul was able to tell people, I got a glimpse of heaven. May I say, as a pastor, I see a little glimpse of heaven right here at Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Because these things are things that we're all working on. But what would make this place a heaven on earth? It would be these sort of things. You and I living this way. And remember, we're living down here not to spend time on this globe because it's entertaining to God. This is preparation time for a better place. Remember, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. And we're going to get to the other side. And the way we were to live down here is how we're going to live up there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are some of you ought to make a decision in your heart that you'll get more concerned about the souls of men. There are some of you need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Some of you used to, but you lose track of it. And as you can tell, if you've been in this church any time at all, I'll keep reminding you of it because it is imperative that we do that. There are people here, you've given up on your Bible reading. You've gotten backslidden about it. You're not patient with the other sinners. Some of you are a little negative in your talk. And you're, hey, listen, why don't you strike a little revival in your heart and say, you know what, I want to contribute to this place being a little touch of heaven on earth. who here tonight would say, "Preacher, God has specifically spoken to my heart about ways I could better contribute to making this place and our life a heaven on earth." Would you let God see your hand? God bless you. Amen. Lots of hands. Hey, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're saved and you've never been baptized, you ought to get that taken care of. Some of you, if you've got some sin in your life, you ought to get it out of your life. If you need to come to this altar and say, "Father, forgive me." There's not going to be any sin going on up in heaven. Maybe you ought to get it taken care of down here. But if you need the altar, if you need to make a decision, there'll be name takers here. There'll be altar workers here. I'm going to ask that the pianists begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at this altar? If you do, you come. Some of you need to work on your decision making. Make wise decisions. Some of you need to work on your soul winning. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Some of you pass out some tracts. It's time for you to step up. Become a little more assertive about the whole thing. Decide it's not going to be to pass out a tract, but you're going to tell someone how to be saved. If you tend to be a negative talker, don't bring that into the church. Just bite your tongue. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my heart and the meditation of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Spend time in the Word of God. You'll make our church a better place. Walk in the Spirit. You'll make our church a better place. Love one another. You'll make our church a better place. Be patient with sinners. You're one of them. It'll make our church a better place. Don't talk negative about the people. Our church will be a better place. Be loyal to the Word of God and to the others that are loyal to the Word of God and the things of God. Decide what you do in wisdom. See the importance of the church. Win souls to Christ. That will make our church a touch of heaven on earth. This is the last time through the song.